Hello, I hope everybody enjoyed their snow day yesterday as we kind of got dumped with the white stuff that we're not really excited to see around here, but it kind of happened. But as promised, in order to keep our schedule moving, in order to help us still get some feeding for this week, I'm going to do this sermon as an online sermon. And as you began to watch that video and you saw those three characters interacting, I hope you came away with some things. First of all, I hope that you thought the idea, go mom. See, mom was watching, but mom was listening. Mom was sitting there at the conversation, and she was listening at the back and forth between the teacher and Josh, and she was unhappy with what she was seeing, and so she told the instructor, get out of my house. That the needs of my son are more important than what you're trying to teach him at this point. Second person that we saw in that little clip was the instructor. And really, for now, the guy's a jerk. I mean, he cares more about winning than he actually does about Josh. And in order to help Josh start to care about winning, he offered him that certificate. Remember a few weeks ago, he introduced that certificate and he began to tell Josh just how important that certificate was. When Josh refuses to make the opening move, the instructor begins his little tantrum. He reacts. And he begins to tell Josh all about the certificate again, but this time he tells Josh it's just a piece of paper. He has dozens and dozens and dozens of them in his briefcase, and he just keeps slamming them on the table, and he wants Josh to understand that they're worthless. However, if you remember just a couple of weeks ago when he showed Josh that certificate, he reminded Josh and he told Josh that they were precious. They were priceless. They were rare. And he was setting Josh up to care about the certificate. And the third person, we'll talk a little bit more in depth a little bit later, but I did want you to pay attention to Josh. Because remember, this was the little boy that at one time was out in the park, and he was so excited to sit and play chess, and he was all about the game. And as you watched him in that clip, he's just kind of beaten down. He's got that look on his face that maybe he just doesn't care about this game anymore. And I think that's important for us to remember because we need to understand this question. Why are you doing this? You see, it's an interesting question because it goes to this idea of motivation. It's the why behind the what that you're doing. And this is important because if you have the wrong why, then eventually you'll become ineffective. Just like that piece of paper, eventually everyone will see you as a fraud. Just like that certificate, it'll just become a copy of the piece of paper. It isn't real at all. It sort of is what it is. And the funny thing is then your message will have no value and people will stop listening to what we're saying. And that brings us to these ideas of spiritual disciplines of stillness. We've been looking at these over the first part of this year as we talk about this idea of be still and know that I am God. And as we began to look at this idea, we focused in on Psalm 46:10. It says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And we came to this conclusion that we struggle oftentimes at being still. Like the instructor, things begin to happen and things begin to go the way that we don't want them to go. And we stop listening and we just begin to react to the situation. So if we're going to learn how to be still, there are some disciplines, just like in the game of chess where you have to have some disciplines that you learn, there are some disciplines that we have to learn in order to be still. And we began this discipline when we began to talk about solitude. The idea that we can get alone and just be us and God. We talked about this discipline of rest, The idea that sometimes we just have to shut it down. Even Jesus did that. We have to get away. We talked about the discipline of fasting and praying and the idea that God wants us to have an interactive relationship with Him. And it isn't just saying a bunch of words. Prayer is more about an actionable item. And so the idea of fasting, the idea of setting aside your personal needs in order to get into a relationship with God. And then last week we talked about the idea of meditation. And this is the idea of focusing not on just talking to God, but actually listening to God. Get alone with His Word. And I'm sure you hear the word that I keep saying. See, last week we talked about meditation, and we talked about how it connects to this idea of the next discipline that we're going to discuss. You see, if we're going to be still, we absolutely, positively have to learn how to listen. Now, I do want you to catch this idea. Listening is not equal to hearing. Just because I hear it doesn't mean that I listen to it. If you just look at the definitions, you will be able to see the difference, because hearing, to hear, means to have the capacity of perceiving sound, to be able to become aware of sound, to gain information, to receive communication. So hearing is one thing, but listening has a completely different definition. To listen is to pay attention to sound, to hear something with thoughtful attention and give consideration, to be alert and to catch an expected sound. You see, this is important. This is an important idea, because hearing is all about being in the presence of sound. And so what this means is I can come to church my entire life and hear lots of good teaching and totally not be listening. I can accumulate a massive amount of information, and that's still not listening. Being in the presence of sound is not listening. You see, listening does require that I hear the information, but that is just a very, very small part of what it means to be a listener for God. And you know, the funny thing is when we don't listen, we don't always hear what's going on. We don't pay attention to it, and we just begin to react. So as we go through this idea, if you have a copy of God's Word handy laying around, you might want to go ahead and open it up to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We're going to look at 6 requirements of being a good listener. My son, if you accept my word and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So 6 requirements here that wise old Solomon has given to his son in Proverbs chapter 2. And so the first thing that we have to see is that listening requires good belief. To listen to something means that you must assign it a value of true. You see, if I don't believe it and I just kind of hear it and it comes in and maybe I start to ponder it, but then I just dispose of the idea because I don't believe that it is actually true. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us," so there's the hearing, "you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in at work in you who believe." So this idea that once I hear it, for me to actually listen to it, I have to assign it a value of true, else I will just dispose of the idea and move on. Number 2, the other requirement for being a good listener, it says that we actually must store up my commands within you. The idea that to be a good listener, we must be patient. And I say that word, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same word that I think. I think of the word patience, and I think of the word yuck. But you knew if we're going to talk about this idea of being still, patience would find its way into our sermon series over the next coming months again and again, because this idea of patience is very, very important. And to truly listen, you must hear it more than once. Solomon says that you have to store it up, and it has to get within inside of you. It can't just be something that goes in one ear and out the other. It isn't just something that somebody said and they're making a suggestion. We truly must begin to be patient in what we're hearing and allow it to get inside of us so that we can hear God's word and listen to what it is telling us for our lives. You know, this idea of storing it up is why this idea of meditate it is so important. We talked about the idea of meditation last week. And that is why this goes hand in hand and why this sermon series we put in this order. Because if I'm going to meditate on it, I can't just sit there and read verse after verse after verse. Eventually, I have to let that seed get inside of me. I have to let it build some roots. I have to let it go with what's going on in my life. And I have to begin to listen by storing it up in my life. Now, listening isn't just about taking it into my life. Eventually, if I'm going to listen, listening requires that I take a change of direction. This is what Solomon said. Turn your ear to listen to wisdom. You see, here's how I know that you're actually listening to what I say. Something changes. It's the kind of thing, we have this thing going on in my house. Every now and then I'm looking for one of my kids, and I know they're upstairs and I'm downstairs. And so I'll yell out to them and I'll yell out their name and they'll say, "What?" And then I'll just stand at the bottom of the steps and I'm all nice and quiet and I don't say a word. Then I'll call their name again. They'll say, "What?" And what they're waiting to hear what the instruction is. They're waiting to hear, but I want to know that they're listening. I want them to stop what they're doing and at the very least at this point come to the top of the steps and give me their attention. I want them to turn their ears toward what I'm saying, to give me some attention to what we're going to be doing here and what we're going to be saying, because I have some information that they need to take into their life. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So there's this idea that it isn't just enough that I have to just hear the words. I actually have to begin to move my life toward them. And as my direction begins to change, you know what else I find out? It's the next requirement in being a good listener. You see, good listening requires a change in your action too. You see, it isn't just enough that I stop and turn my ear and I begin to pay attention. I begin to take it into my life. It actually means that as I walk away from what you told me, that thing that you've said will make a difference in my life. It's one of those things that we do. The minister delivers a message and we like to come up and we tell him, whether it's a, well, I guess sometimes, every now and then, somebody comes and says, "It's a really good sermon. I really enjoyed the sermon. I really appreciated the sermon. I really liked the sermon." And we're trying to make the minister understand that, yeah, I heard what you said, but you do understand that wasn't the goal of the sermon. The goal of a sermon is never to get you just to hear what I'm saying. The goal of a sermon is to get you to listen. So the real way that you know a sermon was effective is people begin to go out in their life and they say, "You know what? That thing that he said, I think I want to take it and apply it in my life. And I want to begin to look at it in my life." And your life begins to change because of what you heard, because you began listening to it and you accepted it and you begin to take action on it in your life. Psalm 119, verse 105, a verse that we seem to be coming across a lot here lately. It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The idea here is that we're supposed to be taking these things that we learn, taking these things that we're listening to, and allow them to illuminate the path that we're walking, allow them to be our guide and to be our structure. It isn't the idea of just hearing it, filling in the blanks that we have on our bulletin. By the way, if you want to have the blanks, they are on our website. You can download the bulletin and you can grab those and fill those blanks out if that's kind of your way of learning. But that's not enough. Just to listen to it and just sit there for that moment and pay attention for the moment that you're here, that's not what this is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be taking the things that we're doing and taking them out in our life. This is kind of ironic. I'm preaching the sermon to a camera, basically. But you're going to tune into it later, I hope. And as you hear these words, I hope you begin not just to hear them, but to listen to them in such a way that you begin to take action in your life. And this idea of listening, Solomon tells us there's another principle that you really have to believe in, you really have to accept, you really have to go, if you're actually going to listen. You see, listening requires a hunger and thirst for more. If you call out for insight and cry out for understanding, and if you look at it as for silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, and I want you to pay really close attention to the verbs that you see there. The idea that he wants us calling out, well, that doesn't sound like I'm listening. He wants us to cry out loud, well, again, that's not what I usually associate with listening. He wants us to look for it. Well, that's not usually what I associate with listening. He wants us to search for it. You see, there is this idea that if we're going to be good listeners, I can't just hear and go. I have to begin to actually dig into what was told me. It isn't just enough to accept things on face value. I actually have to begin to go looking for it in my life and looking for ways to put it into my life. And I begin to see how it affects my life. And I begin crying out that I need more. I need more. I didn't get enough. There's a hunger and a thirst in my life for all of this. It was, I guess it was now two summers ago. We were in this really amusing situation in my neighborhood. Our next door neighbor had bought one of these little, I guess it was a potbelly pig. And they had brought that pig home. And, it was their son or daughter. And they had brought it over to grandma, I mean, to mom and dad's house. And the pig got loose. And the pig took off running. And the first thing you know, the pig was no longer in sight. And the people that were there were so concerned that you actually had a bunch of adults in our neighborhood going door to door and going up into the woods there behind our house and calling out this pig's name. And they were searching for this pig, and they were desperate to find this pig because they understood that in just a very few short hours it was going to be dark outside. And so they went everywhere crying out this pig's name. I don't know how the pig knows its name. But here's what I want you to gather out of this. They weren't content. What they were looking for was so valuable to them. What they were looking for was so important to them. They were not content to just do a quick search. They weren't just intent to go and do a quick look around the block to see what was going on. They weren't content to just go and do those things I gave an effort. I can replace the pig. The pig was important enough to them that they actually stopped their life, and then they went out. And they've been calling for the pig. And they began going out and looking for this little bitty pig. And you know what? Sometimes that's what listening is all about. Because as they were calling out, they would begin to call for a little bit and they would stop. And they would see if they heard a response. And then they would call out some more and they would stop. And as they knocked on people's doors and they knocked on the door, they didn't just ask the question and they run away. They actually stood there and listened. And believe it or not, there were actually people that got involved in the search in my neighborhood as everybody was out looking for this little bitty pig because it was important to these people. And they had to go into a listening mode in their life. One thing after another, their life had to go on hold because they were desperate to find this little pig. And you know what? Sometimes I think that's what God wants us to be. God wants us to be so desperate to find God in our life that we begin to call out to him and then we stop. And we listen to see if he responds. And then when we call out and we listen, and it says we cry out, we get louder and we go searching for it because we have to have a hunger and thirst if we're going to be good listeners. If you're not interested in it, if you're not hungry to hear it, if you're not thirsty to hear it, then you know what? You're never going to listen to it. Now, listening requires one other thing that's very important. Listening requires us to go deeper in our relationship with God. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. Jesus tells us that his sheep, they know him because they hear his voice and, well, they respond to him. They come and go and they find peace. They follow willingly. all because they know the shepherd. You know, when you have kids that are little and they don't recognize your voice, they usually don't respond to you. I mean, it's just one of those things. But when they hear mom or dad's voice, they immediately perk up and they take attention because they have a relationship. And as they get older, their relationship begins to deepening, and they begin to know things like voice inflections and tones. And they can tell by the tone in mom and dad's voice whether or not this is a good calling or that whether it's a bad calling. Maybe it's because they figure out how many names are mentioned. One name means, yeah, I'm okay. If you get all three names, you're in a lot of trouble. But this idea of listening, because you know what? As you listen, your relationship should grow. And as your relationship grows, it should get deeper with God. And as you get your relationship deeper with God, you should become more intent on listening to what God has to say. It's this endless cycle of how to be a very, very good listener for God. And speaking about becoming a good listener for God, I'd like to close this morning by sharing from James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. I'm going to take this out of the New King James because this is an important idea, because the idea of listening isn't just about hearing. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who investigates the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You know, as we begin to think about that clip that I showed you for Josh, he had so much chess shoved in him that he was honestly just battered and broken. And that question that he wants is an important question, because he looks at his instructor and he says, how many points if I do it? How many points am I from the certificate? How many points more do I need? And the funny thing is the instructor couldn't hear what he was saying. What he's saying is, I'm tired of the game that we're playing. I want something more. So let's just get to the certificate and move on. And so this idea of listening, Josh is saying, how many more points does it take? I was a product of the 70s and 80s, and it was a time that churches were really all about evangelism. I've told you guys before, I was a bus kid. I began coming to church because they offered me a piece of bubble gum, and they wanted me to come to church, and I was a person that filled the seat on the bus, and I went through their children's program and all of that all of those things, and that did make an impact on my life. And yes, we were taught about the idea of grace, but honestly, like that certificate, what we were teaching fell well short of the real thing. You see, in the end, a lot of what we began to teach in the 70s and 80s, and I guess even in the 90s when it came to the church, is we were trying to make Christians. And when we were trying to make Christians, we offered them a certificate. We made this idea of becoming a Christian all about this idea of going to heaven or going to hell. Are you in? Are you out? Have you done enough? Have you not done enough? Have you done the right things in the right order, or you haven't done the right things in the right order? And the funny thing is I'm not sure that's what we're supposed to be teaching. This certificate theology where we're just making it all about heaven and hell, I don't think that is what Jesus had in mind. You see, because heaven is but the result of me living in a relationship with Jesus. You see, the instructor wanted Josh, he used that phrase there, he wanted him to make the opening move for the love of the game. He wanted Josh to understand that you don't always have to get a point for it. This is about the relationship. And you know what? I think that's had an impact. You see, because now we want the world to hear us, and they look like the picture of Josh that you see there. They're looking at the church with cynicisms, whether or not what you're offering me is real. they're looking at the church and they're not listening to the church anymore. They're sort of going their own way. You see, here's the reality. The world no longer sees the value in the certificate. This concept of, if it's just about an afterlife, it's just about heaven and hell, then you know what? Eventually everybody goes to heaven, right? I mean, that's kind of where everybody gets to. Everybody finds a way to be at peace with this idea in life now of what eternity is all about. And so just selling them the certificate, an end-of-life insurance policy, is no longer what the world is looking for. The world has gotten louder. So, you know, not only are they not listening to us, they can't even hear us. We're talking about things and they're looking at us and they don't even hear the words that we're saying. It's like they've got headphones or earplugs in and the message that is all around them is much louder. And so we've done the thing that we should not do. We began to shout even louder. Our rhetoric and our speech has become more and more, I guess, volatile. We just keep shouting and shouting and shouting. And you know, the reality is it's not working. Instead, we're having the opposite effect. You see, because not only are we not good listeners, that we have not put those six principles in place, the idea is that we're not teaching people to be a good listener of God's word. So I have a new plan. Well, actually, maybe it's a new plan that for us, but it's an old plan for the Bible, because this comes right out of those verses that we just looked in James, because this idea of listening is about hearing plus doing. This idea of listening is that we hear what's going on and we allow it to come into our life and we follow those principles. And then I go out into that world that I'm trying so desperately to reach. And instead of asking them to listen, to hear our shouts, we encourage them to listen to our actions. We encourage them to listen to what God is saying in their life, not through what I say, but what I do. It's the idea of don't just watch, don't just listen to me, don't just hear what I say, but actually follow me because and do what I do. The idea of hearing plus doing, that's what it means to be still and know that I am God. Because we are listening. We're listening to God. We're listening to the way His Word comes into our life. And we're listening to the person on the other side of the board, that person that we desire to have a relationship with Christ. We're listening to their life, and instead of raining upon them just advice that we heard and we're just regurgitating facts, we actually begin to get active in their life because we're being still. We're taking time to listen to what they're saying. We're taking the time to listen what their life is going through. And then we're allowing ourselves to listen to what God is saying. Instead of just reacting, we actually begin to respond to a world, not with shouts, not with more rhetoric, but with things that they can put into their life and they can do. Things that they can follow, things that they can understand. Ways that maybe they too can learn to be still, know that I am God, and listen.